the preseason of Colette for the Alpad, the primary field for us for the Alpad, in with Luis Casanza. Thank you.
So this is for me. Thank you. Okay, thank you very much for coming. I'm sure you're all very busy, and so it's always a big excuse to be here. Robertson Cement reminded me it was around this time last year that I was here. So it's a big excuse to be here, and I figured Hanukkah is around the corner, as we know. So I wanted to speak about the concept of Hanukkah as it relates to Tosha B'Alpeh. And it's really, the discussion is more of a hashkafa discussion with halakhic references. However, if after we finish, if you would like to ask any practical questions regarding Hanukkah, we could do that as well. In the various svarim, Hanukkah is known as the Yontif of Torah Shabbalpeh. It's the holiday of Torah Shabbalpeh. Rav Gedalia Shor has in his Sefer, others as well. Now, if somebody would ask you why should Hanukkah assume the title of the Yontif of Torah Shabbalpeh? What would you think? Right, it's the first. It's the first celebration, what we call Yontif, that's not written in Tanakh. It's not in the Tanakh. So it's Purim. It's in Tanakh, but Hanukkah is not in Tanakh. It's not. It could be various Ramazim and things like that, but the concept of the Neis Hanukkah and celebrating Hanukkah, etc., is not something that's in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, nor is it in the Nevi'im or the Ksuvim. And hence, it is referred to as the Yontif of Torah Shabbalpeh. In fact, the Netziv writes that in the Mishkan, we know there were various Kalim. There was the Shulchan, there was the Mizbeach, and two of the Kalim, the Netziv writes this in the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh. Two of the Kalim in the Mikdash refer to the concept of Torah, Talmud Torah, learning Torah, etc. Would anyone want to try to guess what are the two of the Kalim that
the menorah and the
Aron? Good, excellent. The menorah and the Aron. Those are the two kalim in the Mikdash that have a connection to Torah and learning Torah. So why do we need two of these? Kalim? Torah Shem Ksavata, and which is which? Right. How do you know that? The Luchos are in the Aron, right. The Luchos are in the Aron, that's Torah Shebichsav, and the Menorah is the Torah Or, the Illuminary, and then we understand that Hanukkah also, that ties in, the Or of Hanukkah is also that Or of Torah Shebalpeh. And in fact, there's a very fascinating idea that's brought out of the Al-Sheikh. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael certain gifts, certain matanos. The man, the be'er, right? There was various gifts that Klal Yisrael. And the Al-Sheikh says that the mon, even though it was a physical thing that was eaten, is connected the Torah Shebichsav, and the Be'er was connected to Torah Shebaal Peh. How so? Because the mon was what? A very finite gift that was given on a weekly basis. Right? You got a certain measure, right, the Torah tells us, of mon. Torah Shebichsav is finite. You can't add a word, a letter, right? If the Sefer Torah would be, you know, it add a little bit, or subtract a little bit, the Torah won't be kosher. It's finite. It's defined. That's the mon. That's Torah Shebichsav. The be'er is what? That's a well. A well is what? Is a spring which gushes with water, keeping, you dig and dig, and there's water comes from the ground, and there's no end to that. You can keep digging and digging, and the water keeps coming and coming, and that's Torah Shebaal Peh. Because Torah Shebaal Peh is not a finite concept. It's something that's Parah V'Ravah. In other words, Chazal were given the instruments, what's called what? The Yud Gimel Midos Shatorah Nedreshes Behem. The principles that we can derive more and more halachas from the Torah. It's not like you have to have a Mesorah, you know, how to do it. We don't necessarily derive, but, and then the whole Gemara is, and the Mishnayos are discussions of what halachas we can learn from this extra letter and this extra word. It's an infinite process. It's part of a rava. It's part of a rava. So that's why the Al-Sheikh says that the mon was Keneged Torah Shebichsav, and the Be'er is Neged Torah Shebaal Peh. And in fact, the Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas Bo before we get to that, one other point is we know that a Torah, you know, Baruch Hashem, we just celebrated a couple of weeks ago my son's bar mitzvah. So we were spending a whole year practicing the laning. So it wouldn't have been much easier if every Sefer Torah, you would have the Nekudos and the Ta'amim in the Torah. That would make things much easier. But the halacha is, if you have a Torah that has the Ta'amim and the Nekudos in it, then what? It's an invalid Torah. Why? Because the Radvaz explains that the Torah has many interpretations to each word. And if we would put the Nekudos and the Tamim in, then we would be locking it in to one interpretation. This way, we dafka have to have the flexibility that the Torah Shebaal Peh could go ahead and what? And have a multitude of explanations of each word. That doesn't mean, again, that everyone could just read into the Chumash anything they want. I mean, we have a tradition. That's why we have the Mishnah and the Gemara. That's our tradition of what the things that are expanding in the Torah Shebichsav. It's not just a free-for-all. But the point is, says the Radvaz, if we would have, you know, the Torah, the scroll of the Chumash, and put in the Nekudos and the Truf and this, it would make it that this is the one way to read it, and this is the only way to read it, and that would undermine the principle that Torah Shebaal Peh can expand the understanding of each and every word in the Chumash, and therefore that would make the Chumash invalid. There's a famous pasuk in Chumash. It's probably the most famous pasuk in Chumash, namely what? Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas Bo explains, there are many explanations of what this, like we just said before, there are many explanations in what the Chumash means. But Rabbeinu Bechaya has a fascinating explanation of what does it mean by the simple pasuk, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. Some interpret it to mean Hashem said to Moshe Lemor to tell others, to tell over to the Jewish people. But the Rabbeinu Bechaya gives another explanation. He says the following, that Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave it with the Torah Shebichsav on every mitzvah, and the added interpretations, the Torah Shebaal Peh. So Vayidaber, Dibur, what is Dibur? Lashon Kasha. Why? Why do you mean Lashon Kasha? Because it's very finite. There's no flexibility. It's this amount of words, this amount of letters, etc. Very exact. That's Torah Shebichsav. And Lemor is what? Is Amira. Amira is Lashon what? Raka. Because that's the pliability. The fact that the Torah can expand. You can have multiple interpretations to many of the psukim. So that's what it means, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, that Hashem gave the Torah, both the Torah Shebichsav to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the Dibor, and Lemor, the Torah Shebaal Peh. In fact, there is a there's a pasuk in Tehillim which is interpreted in this way as well. There's interpretation by the Gra and by the Baruch Tam, or Baruch Tom and Frankel. I think you're related to him. So, what's the pasuk? So, what's the biggest capital in Tehillim? Is which one? Kuf Yutes. So in Sin, the pasuk says like this: Sorim radfuni chinam, umidvarcha pachad libi. Sas anochi alim rasecha, kimotzei shalol rav. Okay, so again, sorim radfuni chinam. That's the sins, because the each with kuf yutes you have the whole aleph base eight times, right? In every aleph. Okay. So the sin, sorim radfuni chinam. Which means like this. Sorim. So who's speaking? So David HaMelech is speaking. And he's saying, Sorim, the generals, Radfuni, they pursued me. Why did they pursue David HaMelech? Who is that? Doeg, Achitofel, they pursued him. Why did they pursue him? Because they were saying that David HaMelech is not legit. Because he comes from what? He comes from Rus, from Moab, and therefore he's not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. So David is saying, the Sorim Radfuni, they pursued me. They wanted to get me out of the Jewish family. But it was chinam. It was for naught. Why? So he says like this, umidvarcha pachad libi. So the Gra and the Baruch Tam say, midvarcha pachad libi. What does that mean? From the perspective of what? Torah Shebichsav, I was afraid that maybe they were right. Why? Because the Torah Shemachsam says what? That Vayavo Amoni Umoavi. Where is that pasuk? In Parshas. In Parshas, half the mitzvahs of the Torah are Parshas Kiseitse. So if you just guess Parshas Kiseitse, you're already okay. Parshas Kiseitse. The other half is in Kedusha. Sarim Umidvarka, and from the perspective of Toshe B'Ksav, what? Pachad Livni. I was afraid that maybe they're right. But what do we know? What does the Gemara tell us? That it's only from the male. Moavi velo Moavis. And he was only descended from the from Rus, from the female. So what does this mean? So let's see the whole pasuk. Sarim radfu nichinam Doeg and Achitofel, the generals, were pursuing me because I don't have a good ancestry. Ubidvarcha pachad libi, and from the dibur, from what, from the Torah Shebichsav, I was what? I was very nervous. But what? Sos anochi al imrasecha kimotzei lozrov. What gave me the happiness? A lot? Imrasecha. What's imrasecha? Lemor. That's the what? Amira, that's what? Torah Shebal Peh. Because the Torah Shebal Peh darshins that you don't say Moavi, the male, but Moavi below Moavi is only the male, not the the female descendant, and therefore Sos Anochi al Imrasecha Kimotse L'Tol Rav. And those are the Dibur and the Amira. The Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, written by Rav Hutner Zatzal, his first mimer in the Sefer, discusses the famous Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach, which says that Lo Koras HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris Im Klal Yisrael Ela B'Torah Shebal Peh. Whereas the covenant, which means the unique relationship, that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is only through Torah Shebal Peh. Why so? Because the Torah Shebichsav, that's written down. If it's written down, then other nations could copy, which they've done. They could copy, they could have their own Bibles, etc. But the Torah Shebal Peh is an oral tradition. And what's the reason for that? Because if it's oral, so then what? It's sort of like a secret. Like it's not written down. It's our oral tradition that we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what it means. Futner explains the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Samach, Lo Koras HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris Im Klal Yisrael Elohat O Torah Shebal Peh. Because that's the unique covenant that we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam, is through the oral tradition, is Torah Shebal Peh. And that's, says Rav Hutner, was what Chanukah was all about. Because Chanukah was what we call a Shas HaShmad. It was a time where the Yevanim made decrees upon the Jewish people and trying to have us assimilate into their culture. And it's interesting, you know, normally you give your life, right? What are the halakhas? A person has to give their life for the three averis, right? For Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Damim. right? Only those three. We say Yarg Val Yavor, that you should rather get killed than transgress one of these three sins, these cardinal averus. But it's interesting, as Shas Hashmad, when we're in a time where there are decrees against the Jewish people's observance, then what? What's the halacha? Even what? Arkas of the Masani. Even what? The color of the shoestrings, meaning if the non-Jews wear a certain color, we have to wear a different color. In other words, so we shouldn't assimilate. Even, and what's the idea, says Rav Hutna? It seems so silly. I should have to give my life for shoestrings? I can understand the three averes, but the idea is, if it's in a Shas Hashmad, where the whole point is to try to get, which was the decrees of Hanukkah, that we were not allowed to, you know, Shabbos and different things that we were, there were decrees against the Jewish people, so then we have to be strong to maintain our identity. And that's called the Shas Hashmad. And even on something that might be viewed as, you know, somewhat trivial, is very significant. Because we have to keep our tradition. We have to keep our tradition. And our uniqueness. That's why we know that there's a halacha of B'chukoseim lo seilechu, that we're not allowed to follow non-Jewish practices. Maybe we can leave that for later, but that's an important idea. But we know that today the Torah Sheb Alpeh is written down, right? We have Gemaras, we have things that are written down. Because what? The Gemara says, "Eis la'sol shlashem heferu sarasecha." That we're afraid that if we don't write it down, it's going to get lost. So therefore, there was a heter given to what? To write it down. But Rav Hutna writes in that mimer, we have a concept, if you ever learn Mishnayos with the Gemara, so there's a concept called Chasuri Mechsera, the Hakikatani. Which means like this. You learn a Mishnah, and then the Gemara interprets the Mishnah in a way where the only way you can interpret the Mishnah is assuming that there was a line left out here, and a couple of words left out here, and a couple of words left out here, and that's the interpretation of the Mishnah. Now that's very peculiar. You know, if I would be writing a Sefer, and I would leave out a half a line here, and a half a line here, you know, people would say, well, what is he doing? It's ridiculous. Who writes something leaving out words? So Rav Hutna said very beautifully, he said, sometimes you have a halacha, but because of the circumstances, there's an onus, so you can't fulfill it. But Torah Shabbat, so what are you going to tell me? Torah Shebaalpeh has to be, that's our covenant with the Ribbono Shel Olam, has to be Baalpeh. So if we give it up, this halacha, then we're going to give up our unique relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So then you can't just, it's not something that this halacha could be what? Could be done away with. But it had to be in a certain way, because we were going to lose it ourselves. So what was the pshara? The pshara was, write it down, but leave it ambiguous, so the person who is learned it will understand that this statement means you have to add three words here, another three words, because there's enough to remind you. But still, the covenant will remain, because if you don't have the tradition of what's missing, you won't be able to understand it. So that was the way to preserve the integrity of Torah Shebaalpeh, that it should be our unique relationship. On the other hand, to make sure that it's not forgotten. So write it down, but sort of like in a code. And that's the concept of what Rav Buda explains of chasuri mechsera. The Hachi Katani means, chasuri mechsera means there's something chaser, there's something missing, the Gemara says. In this Mishnah, there's something missing, and therefore the way to interpret it is you have to add in that this word, this word, this word, and now you'll be able to interpret it properly. Because a heter to write down Torah Shebaal Peh can't be just a blanket heter, because then we're going to lose the integrity of Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the integrity of our unique relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. We said before a very interesting thing, that the core of Torah Shebaal Peh is what? Is the Yud Gimel Midos Shatorah Nidreshes Bahem. Those are the 13 principles. If we come to Shul early enough, we could actually say the thing of Rabbi Shmuel. If we don't, then we won't. But, right, the Kal Vachomer, Gzeira Shava, right? Different principles. Like, for example, the Gemara tells us about tefillin, that tefillin are between our eyes, and that's the same. And it says the word korcha, beinecha, by tefillin, and beinecha doesn't mean between your eyes; it means the hairline. And when the Gemara says, when the pasuk says that you're not allowed to pull out hair, God forbid someone loses a relative, so there's mourning, but there can't be excessive mourning. And the pasuk says that you can't take a razor and start cutting your skin because you're so distraught, because that's too much. Why is that too much? The Ramban explains that's too much because we believe that even if God forbid somebody dies, it's only the physical body that's not here, but the neshama is eternal. And therefore, that's why the avelus has to be limited. Because if it wouldn't be limited, then we would be denying our belief in the eternity of the neshama. But the question is, what's it referring to? The hair that you can't rip out. So the Gemara says that gezeira shava beinecha from korcha, from pulling out hair, and from tefillin, and we equate the two to see where it's referring to. Not referring to between the eyes, but it's referring to the by the hairline as well. And there are many ideas. So these are the 13 principles. So let me ask you a question. Does anyone want to guess where, do we have anywhere on Hanukkah the concept of 13? Oh, yeah, where is that? Where does it say that? Right, so what's your name? Rivka says that the Mishnah of Midos, right? The Mishnah of Midos, in the second paragraph of Midos, says that what? That there were 13 holes that were pierced in the Sorig. That was a partition in the Beis HaMikdash. And it's interesting, the Mefarshim explained that partition was the partition where a non-Jew couldn't go beyond that point. So that partition represented the divide between Jews and Gentiles. And at the time of the Chashmonaim and the Yevanim, they what? They pierced 13 what? 13 pierces, 13 holes in the Soreg, as if to say, we want to break that divide. We don't want that there should be this division between Jews and non-Jews, and that's what we say, ufartzu chomos migdalai, that there was pierces, there were breaches in this partition, and some mefarshim want to explain that the concept of 13 is the idea of what? Is also reminiscent of Torah Shebaal Peh. because Torah Shebal Peh is basically the thing that makes the divide between the Jews and the Gentiles, as we said before. That's the Torah Shebal Peh is the thing that what? That is our covenant with the Ribbono Shel Olam, as per the Gemara in Gittin the Daf Samach that we just mentioned before. In the Sefer Zichron Shmuel, he quotes, I believe, from the from one of the Hasidic Sherebes, that the word latka that we have on is symbolic or similar to a Yiddish word called latta. You know what a latta is? So a latta is what? Is a patch. Is a patch. That's what a latka looks like. It's a patch. So what's the idea of a patch? Is we're patching up those breaches, those 13 breaches, we're patching them up, hence we're showing that there is a divide between Klal Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam. Even though there could be very fine people from the Umos HaOlam, nonetheless, you know, we have divisions, we have halachas, that we can't have Bishul Akum, right? We can't eat food that was cooked by a non-Jew. There are many different halachas. Why? Because we have to, you know, with Baruch Hashem, we have very wonderful neighbors in our building, wonderful people, but we don't, you know, have meals together. You know, even though we invite a lot of people to our Shabbos table, to our dinner, but we don't have meals together because there has to be some limit, some divide. You know, sometimes we'll have a birthday party, we'll bring a piece of cake over to a non-Jewish neighbor, but as a, you know, showing goodwill, but we have to have that divide, because if we don't have that divide, then, you know, then there could be intermarriage, there could be things of very very important significance that could be breached as a result. So even though we respect honorable people from Umos HaOlam, but yet we also believe in that division, the wine of Goyim, the bread of Goyim, many halachas that were Chazal instituted, that there should be this divide. Doesn't mean that there has to be ill will, but there has to be a divide between Yisrael, Hamavdil b'kol shulchol, ben Yisrael la'amim, right? We say it all the time in Havdalah. And sometimes, especially in today and age, sometimes the divide becomes blurred. Even people who are not intermarrying, but still ideals and things that people have sometimes are not coming from Jewish sources. They're not coming from, and that's something that has to be very much put in one's mind. The Sfas Emes writes that we know we have three Yomim Tovim in the Torah: Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. And he says that parallel to these three biblical Yomim Tovim, we have three Yomim Tovim that are rabbinic nature, which parallel the two. So how does it go? Let's take Shavuos. Shavuos is Matan Torah, right? So what's the parallel to Shavuos in the Rabbanan world? Purim. Purim is also Kimu v'Kiblu. We receive the Torah again, and they're both one day Yantavs, right? Purim is one day, and then Shavuos, Eretz Yisrael, is one day. And what's the parallel to Sukkos? The parallel to Sukkos is Chanukah. We see that the Gemara tells us, in the opinion of Beis Shammai, when he's discussing how Rabbi Sil says the first night one candle, two candles, three candles, etc. But Beis Shammai says no, you go 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. right? In descending order, and that's learned out from where? From the Karbanos of Musaf on the Purim of Sukkot, where each day was one less. So there are connections between, Purim, Sukkot was connected what? Aaron HaKohen. And on the HaKovod were connected Aaron HaKohen. And Hanukkah is all about what? Al Yidei Kohanecha HaKedoshim. So the Kohen aspect was, and we know the Meforshim quote, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes others, that the year that there was a gzeira not to have Sukkot, so that's why they had a Chanukah that year, different connections. But Sukkot is also a yontif of what? Of Torah Shebaal Peh. I mean, we know that on Sukkot there was the what? The Nisach HaMayim. It wasn't usually on the Mizbeach. You have what? You have wine that's poured on the Mizbeach. Well, on Sukkot it was not only wine, it was also what? It was also water. Now, it doesn't say that anywhere explicitly in the Chumash about the water. We know we have Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that means they draw the water, and their whole night they were celebrating, till the morning they poured the water on the Mizbeach. And where do we know the water from? So in Parshas Pinchas, there's an extra man, an extra yud, and an extra man, right? On the second day of the Korbanos of Sukkot, there's an extra mem. And what? On the sixth day, there's an extra yud. And on the second day, it says, Nisachar, there's an extra mem, Niskehem. And on the sixth day, there's an extra yud, Nisachar, with a yud. And on the seventh day, there's an extra mem, Kemishpatam. So therefore, what? That's Torah Shebaal Peh, the extra remes, a mem, a yud mem. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. That was on, and that was one of the main features of Sukkot was Nisach HaMayim. And in fact, the Gemara says that in the time of Bayis Sheni, they had many Kohanim Gedolim who were not believers of the tradition. So they would make fun of Nisach HaMayim. And instead of pouring it on the Mizbeach, what would they do? They would pour it on the ground to make fun. That instead of fulfilling the mitzvah, pouring it on the Mizbeach, they would make fun because they're saying, we don't believe in this. It's not in the Chumash explicitly. And what does the Gemara say? How did the Jewish people react to that? What did they do to these Kohanim? You know what they did? What did they do? They took their asrogim and they threw it at the Kohanim who did that. Now you'd ask me, why did they throw their asrogim? So if you'd ask me, I'd say, if you have to throw something, that would be the best thing to throw. Unless it's too expensive, but Rav Soloveitchik gave a unique interpretation. He said, no, it's not just a practical thing, you throw a ball at somebody. Reichman has been the same from Rav Soloveitchik, that the idea is, he's saying like this, you don't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, you don't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, that's why you're making fun of the water, but you know what? Without Torah Shebaal Peh, we wouldn't know that the pre-eats hudder is an esrog. It could be a lemon, it could be an orange, right? It could be anything. Any citrus fruit of sorts that looks nice. But the fact that it's an esrog, that's the Rambam writes, that's because that's Perushim Mekubalim. That's our tradition that we have, that the pre-eats hudder that's in the Chumash is referring to an esrog. And in fact, getting back to Hanukkah, when we Gemara says that all the shemen was tamei. It also was a tumah midrabanan. Of tumah zovin, whatever that, you know, was some type of rabbinic form of tumah, to show, as Mesvarim explained, that really all the shmonim might have been good on a Torah level. It was only a rabbanan tumah, Tosa says. And Hashem, therefore, had to make a miracle so we would be able to fulfill the rabbinic law. To show, and that's the whole concept of Torah Sheh Baal Peh stems also from the whole necessity, some of the Svarim write, that also comes from the necessity of the whole miracle, was because Hashem wanted to show, to give his approval of the Torah Sheh Baal Peh, and therefore the only reason that the necessity of the miracle was only that the shemen that was tamei midrabanan would be able to be able to be used. And let me, before we maybe discuss some halacha, let me just tell you one other good idea. So we've said many times that the core of Torah Sheh Baal Peh is the Yud Gimel Midos Sheh Torah Nedreshes Bahen, is the 13 principles. And in various Svarim, the Maggid of Mezrich and others say that what? That the Yud Gimel Midos Sheh Torah Nedreshes Bahen are parallel to what? The Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. And that's why when what's the first of the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Dreshes Bahem? It's Kal V'Chomer. Right? And what's the Yud, first of the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim? So it's a whole discussion. Some say it's Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. But the Arizal says, you know what it is? Kel. Kel. Because Hashem, Hashem is just crying out. But the first one is the Midah Kel, Rachel, Mechanon, etc. So that's how the Bnei Yisachar explains that when Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for Miriam, what was his prayer? Kelna, Rifan Allah, and what was right? And what was Hashem's response? Avir with a Kal V'Chomer. If you look in the Pesukim there in the Parshas Bahalosa, because Hashem is saying, if you want to bring the Midah of Kel, then you darshan a Kal V'Chomer, and that brings the Midah of Kel. That's why the Speaker Rebbe writes. Shofar, right? Well, if I say shofar, so what do you say in your mind? What's your association? Shofar? Rosh Hashanah. And isn't it surprising that nowhere in the Torah, in the context of Rosh Hashanah, do we have the word shofar? Isn't that interesting? So where do we have the word shofar in Chumash? Not by Rosh Hashanah. Where? Where? Well, Yom Kippur, where? What parsha, first of all? What parsha? Parsha is Bahar. Yom Kippur shall Yom. Right, the Jubilee year, Yom Kippur, it says, right? And you have Shofar, Tshuva, Vacholish, Shvi Be'asor Lachodesh, right? So we have to learn out Gzeira Shavah from a comparison between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. Why? Because Gzeira Shavah is comparable to which of the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Nedreshes Bahem? If Kal V'Chomer is Kel, so then what's Gzeira Shavah? Number two. So what's after Kel? Rachum. Because when we blow the shofar Rosh Hashanah, what do we want to do? We want to have the Rachmonis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So dafka, it wasn't written in the Torah, the word shofar by Rosh Hashanah, that we have to learn it out from a Gezeirah Shavah, from what? Yom Kippur Shel Yovel to be Ma'orer Diwat, the Mida of Racham. And it's interesting, Sefer Zichron Shmuel explains that if you look in Chumash, what parsha is the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim? Which parsha? Kisisa. And where does the concept that we can't write down Torah Sheba'al Peh? That Torah Shebasav has to be Basav, Al Peh is Al Peh, also Parshas Kisisa. Because it says, Kesov Luchas HaDavari Ma'il, Ki Al Fi HaDavari Ma'il, Karasi Chabrit Ve'et Yisrael, that Torah Sheba'al Peh has to be Al Peh, it can't be written down. That's also in what? In Kisisa. To show, says the Zichron Shmuel, that parallel between the Yud Gimel Midas Shatar Nezishas Rehem and Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim. And the idea being, I think what the Musa Haskel is, that when a person learns Torah, whatever Torah you're learning Chumash, Midrash, whatever you're learning, it has to make us better people. It has to, in other words, if we're involved in learning Torah, of whatever Torah we're learning, that's going to make us people who are more attuned to being a rachum v'chanun and erech hapayim as mahuafata, to bring the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of compassion and chesed and all these things. Because if it's just learning for the sake of intellectual knowledge, so that's not what that's not what Torah is about. Torah is about learning the intellectual knowledge and then internalizing it in ourselves to become people who are, you know, high-standing people of great integrity and great compassion and great patience and all the attributes that we read about of HaKadosh Baruch Hu hopefully should be employed in our own lives and our own behaviors. And that's the Yontif of Chanukah. It's the Yontif of Torah Sheba'al Peh. But Torah Sheba'al Peh is our special relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it has to be, and that means we have a special amuna with Hashem, a special relationship, and we realize that whatever we have in life is only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to give it to us. Nothing is a given. Everything we have, we should be thankful for, and the Chanukah is a yontif of hodah, of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving soon. It's a yontif of hodah. I remember the year, a couple of years ago, when it actually fell out on Thanksgiving. So it's the Yad of Hodah, and Hodah, Rav Huttner writes in one of his Sfarim, a beautiful idea. What does Hodah mean? It means two things. Hodah means to thank, but what else does Hodah mean? To admit. Like, Hodah's balled in, you're admitting. Because they're connected. Because when I thank you, I'm admitting that I can't do everything by myself. I need your help. I need your assistance. A person who is a Balgaiva, he doesn't want to admit that he needs other people besides himself. That's why Rabbi Janya Shachter was speaking the Shabbos in Yeshiva. He pointed out in the practice of having a Vav at the beginning of every column in the Sefer Torah, to have a Vav. And he said the significance is the Vav means Vav, and meaning I can't do it alone. I need you. I need someone else. I need. And that's the idea of anivas and as much as we need other people, we need the Ribono Shel Olam to be present in our lives and realize that that's ultimately going to be the way that we'll be successful in life, is to daven to Hashem, to believe in Hashem, to bez Hashem, all things we aspire to in life. Of course, we're supposed to put in our own efforts, but without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, we won't come to fruition. And that's what Chanukah is all about. We did our own. We found the Pach. We had that one Shem, and we did our effort. And now the rest is the Nes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the Torah Sheba'al Peh, that tradition, that special relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we, you know, Chanukah, you know, you light the menorah, it doesn't take so long, but these ideas are very lofty ideas of believing the primacy of Torah Shebal Peh is the primacy of these ideas of that special relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to realize that learning Chumash without, like Dr. Asher Siv used to say, learning Chumash without the Torah Shebal Peh is a closed book. We wouldn't understand anything. We wouldn't understand what an esrog is, what lulav is, what tefillin is. We have a tradition of the Torah Shebal Peh of how to interpret each and every pasuk in Chumash. And as opposed to the Karaim and other sects, they didn't subscribe to this. But if you don't subscribe to Torah Shebal Peh, then the Torah Shebichsav is, as Dr. Siv would always say, is a closed book. And Bez Hashem, that's opens up the whole Torah to us, is the Yontif of Chanukah and the Torah Shebal Peh. Okay, if there's any questions that anyone wants to ask, any in halacha of Chanukah, we could do that for a couple of minutes. So women are also chayiv in Neiros Chanukah, just like men are chayiv in Neiros Chanukah. There are different traditions when a woman is married, whether they should light also, but especially when you're not married, so you certainly have, and maybe even when you are married, you have this idea of this mitzvah of lighting. And the Rambam says that Chanukah is a mitzvah chaviva ma'od. He doesn't say that by other mitzvahs, but Chanukah, the Rambam writes, it's a mitzvah chaviva ma'od. It's very special. And perhaps all the ideas that we mentioned this evening are reasons to understand why the Yantif is so special. Yeah. So technically speaking, the Shulchan Aruch says it's really not a chiyuv, but it's a nice thing, and especially if you sing Shiras v'Sishpachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it becomes like a Sudas mitzvah. So give me the scenario.
It's a Motzei Shabbos. I was somewhere for Shabbos, and I'm coming back to the dorm. Should I light at the dorm when I get back, or should I light where I'm staying?
Right. So I think Rav Moshe Sternberg writes in the Sefer, it depends. Like, if you're there for Shabbos, as soon as Shabbos is over, you're out of there. So then you can light when you come back. But if you still plan to stay there and eat Malav Malka and schmooze with your friends, and you're not going back right away, then I think Rav Moshe Sternberg says it's preferable to light where you were for Shabbos, even though you're not sleeping there that night. That would be the distinction. Okay, thank you all for coming. Looks like it's Chanukah.